Welcome to Cutting Edge Web Content Development, the podcast where we delve into the world of CMS systems and their crucial role in website and web content development. In each episode, we'll explore the reasons why founders, CEOs, CTOs, and CMOs of web content development companies need CMS systems to thrive in the digital landscape. Get ready to uncover the secrets behind successful website management, content creation, and seamless user experiences. Here's your host, Jonathan Ames.
Welcome to Cutting Edge Web Content Development, a podcast by Better CMS. Here we share insights on the intersection of content and web development and how you can align these two often competing forces to improve efficiency and business results. Joining us in this episode is Jamie Landry, SEO Content Manager at Dash Hudson, to talk about why your blog should be managed by an SEO expert. Welcome to the show, Jamie.
Thank you so much for having me, Jonathan.
Yeah, I'm excited about this conversation because everybody's got a blog and everyone's trying to do better with that. So I think it's going to be a great conversation.
Absolutely.
But first, tell us a little bit about you, kind of your career. How'd you get into SEO and blogs and maybe some of the projects you've worked on?
All right. So I actually started my career going back to university in a degree in public relations. So public relations, I mean, I always recommend it to anybody that's interested in communication or writing. It's a really well-balanced program. So in there, you touch a little bit on everything from video development to communications to marketing. And so from there, I was able to do 3 different co-op placements, which were great to give you a little taste of the industry and what sort of different jobs have to offer, different sectors. And then from there, I found myself working for a B2B company that mostly focused in like industrial safety and rigging and things like that in their marketing department. We were a very small team. And so that's kind of where I started to learn more about SEO because I was doing so much content creation. I really feel like when you are kind of deeply involved in content creation and writing, SEO is kind of something that you'll pick up if you're reading enough blogs and information. So from there, I was still kind of more of a general marketing person. And then after that, I ended up taking a job for a company where we mostly focused on affiliate marketing. So there we did have a dedicated SEO team, and I was actually part of our content team. But just due to kind of the organization of the company, a lot of the content team would kind of take on these SEO roles. And I really developed a passion for it, as cheesy as that might sound. I feel like it's such a great balance of data and creativity. So if you're somebody that kind of likes to combine both of them, it's a really interesting, creative, and ever-evolving sort of industry. So that's something I always like to say to you. If you get bored or you do find yourself a very curious person, SEO is such a great industry to go into because it is changing all the time. There's always kind of something to research, to learn, to kind of up your skills. So from there, I became a lot more interested in SEO, eventually moving into my role right now at Dash Hudson. So 2 people that I work with, I actually worked with in my past role, and they were kind of looking for somebody to fulfill that SEO role. And I was really excited to kind of move more centrally into SEO versus being a content person doing SEO on the side. So that's kind of how I found myself in the role that I am now. It's kind of funny because SEO is probably one thing that we didn't necessarily cover in my university education in PR. But again, that's such a great thing about that program is you can kind of find yourself doing any number of things. So
yeah. No, Jamie, I've talked to probably over a dozen SEO experts in the last couple months on this podcast, and not one of them has gotten their SEO experience out of a college or university, mainly because it didn't exist back then. But it's interesting the different directions that people come into SEO from. So as far as this is a strategy, you want to have somebody who knows SEO as your blog manager. What kind of strategies would that person follow to drive organic traffic?
Well, one thing that's so great about a blog, and again, it depends too on which part of the funnel you're aiming for. Some people choose to position their blog as kind of a bottom of funnel source to get traffic. So posing questions that your target audience would likely be searching for and things of that nature. But there are people that approach their blogs from different ways. Maybe they do want to drive more of that top of funnel traffic. So in terms of kind of strategies that they would use to boost organic traffic, I mean, this might sound very basic, but really, I think you do kind of have to start with keyword research. So in addition to kind of understanding what your business goals are and your marketing objectives, and of course, who your demographic is, aside from all of that research, keyword research does play a very big part of it. You can always use your discretion and write about certain topics that you think your audience would likely be interested in that relate to your business. That being said, in my experience, I have generally always found success when I am kind of aiming for a keyword that has the right volume and then also the right difficulty. And again, that also depends on your organization's credibility, your authority, how large or small you are. And in addition, and I guess another strategy that goes kind of hand in hand with your keyword research would be identifying your content clusters and your pillar content. And again, I do think that does connect back to your marketing objectives and goals. And this is something that I think I kind of think as like this interconnected web, also because as somebody who I'm managing a blog and I am working in SEO, but I am also part of a marketing team. So a big focus for me is always how are we kind of communicating what we're doing back into how that connects to our goals. You could get all of the traffic in the world, but if people aren't converting, if you're not keeping them on the page, if they're not going through other touch points in your website, that might not be the traffic that you're looking for. It could help you bolster your search results and things of that nature. So for me, identifying the business goals and kind of what your targets and objectives are kind of go hand in hand with identifying your content pillars. So for example, I guess I can give you an example actually from my previous role, just because I guess it's a little bit interesting. So we were an affiliate website, but we wanted to kind of diversify some of our content pillars and clusters. The site had a lot of legacy blog and news content, and we kind of wanted to try something different that would connect with our users. So we did a little bit of demographic research, and we found out that our target audience was really interested in finance and collectibles. So that did kind of connect to what our goals were as a company. We could connect it back to things like CTAs, to things like pages that were more conversion focused. So from there, we decided to build a finance cluster and also a collectibles cluster. So I would say the collectibles cluster was quite great for us. So we started with kind of a pillar content, what are collectibles, why you should care. And then from that piece of pillar content, we were able to expand that cluster for things like top 10 collectibles, maybe top 10 collectibles that have potential to kind of blow up in the next few years, just to kind of name a couple. So that was something that for us was a pretty big win, just because it was something that we knew our audience was seeking. So instead of, I guess, creating content with the hopes that people would find us, we went right to them with the idea of what do you need? What do you want to see? We will make that for you.
Could you define, just for those who are non-SEO experts here, what is pillar content so they can understand that?
All right. Yeah, no, that's a great question. So pillar content would be, and you know, this could be like a feature page. This could be another page on your website, but I guess for the purpose of blogging, what we're talking about, that would just be kind of your main or central piece of content surrounding a particular topic. So for example, right now, the blog that I'm working on for Dash Hudson is very focused on social media. So for us, Instagram, that's a very kind of easy piece of pillar content. So that could be, what is an Instagram marketing strategy? What is an Instagram strategy? And then from there, we build out a cluster surrounding that pillar. So from everything from Instagram reel strategy, explaining the Instagram algorithm, what songs are trending on Instagram, and all of those little pieces that can kind of help inform your pillar cluster. In addition to that, when you're kind of having a pillar and a content cluster, it's also very helpful for your internal linking strategy. So again, maybe not all of the time. Obviously, you always want to have links that are contextual and that make sense for the content that you're writing. But quite often, since all of that content is interconnected, it's also quite easy to have like a robust internal linking strategy within that.
No, that's good definition of pillar content. Going back to something you'd said earlier, you talked about top of funnel or bottom of funnel content that could be on a blog. Have you typically followed a particular percentage, like a certain percentage that's top of funnel, a certain percentage that's bottom, or do you focus all of it towards one area of the funnel? What have you found works in the past for you as far as splitting your content among these different funnel stages?
I think too, for me, in my experience, it has kind of depended on the organization and I guess where our ultimate goal is and where we're kind of hoping to lead the person. So I would say we don't normally look at it in terms of percentages, although that's is honestly like a great way to look at it. But I would say for me and the purpose in the blog, it would probably be like maybe even like 75 to 80% that bottom or even like middle of funnel, just because blogs typically aren't used as a very strong conversion tool. That being said, we do have goals surrounding leads for our blog, and we do try to enhance them with things like calls to action, other downloads. So again, you might notice when you're creating your blog content that maybe people are going more to download a template versus submitting for a demo. That being said, I mean, I guess I probably don't need to say it to this audience, but it's still valuable in terms of just getting that traffic in the door.
Yeah. No, I loved what you were saying earlier about having an idea of once they come in with a particular stage that they're in, thinking about what that next piece of content is that you want to direct them to. And so if you knew they're coming in, say, to a top of funnel, some basic questions, you could then have links on that page that would go to kind of mid funnel that might help better educate them, get them content that was appropriate to where they were at in their stage and kind of direct them onward. I think a lot of blogs don't really do that. And so they're great at bringing traffic in and people find what they need there, but then they leave because most blogs don't have a really good, hey, here's what's next at the end of your blog post. So you read it and you're just like, oh, you're gone. But a few of them do. I have seen it where there is really a very clear next stage. Hey, if you love this article, here's the next thing you should know, or the next thing you should do, or sign up for our newsletter because we're going to tell you about what's next in this. Any of those kind of call to action or links really help somebody feel like this becomes a journey and not just like, hey, I got my question answered. Now I'm out of here, and which is really powerful for blogs.
Absolutely. And something that we always try to do as a team as well is seeing where our leads are coming in on blog content. So even though having a good understanding when you're in the creation phase is really important, obviously, when you're working on a blog or any type of online content, re-optimizing that is also very important. So that's something that we also focus on quite a bit, is where are these leads coming from? And then typically we're prioritizing those blogs for a re-optimization to see what is the aim. Are people coming in on this blog and they're submitting for a demo? Great. Do we have the right CTAs? Do we have the right information for somebody that's looking to get a demo? So sometimes too, the content can also kind of inform you of where your users are in their conversion journey.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. No, I think that just the whole idea of blogs, if you don't have an SEO background to your original strategy, you wouldn't even think of things like going back and revising my blog. But in SEO, you know, you often have to revise content and update it to keep it topical and at the top there. And otherwise, it'll lose traffic over time. But somebody who doesn't have a strong SEO background might miss that. So great point there to your strategy. So as far as like strategies to promote your blog outside of the SEO side, is it helpful to do promotions out through other avenues like social media, email marketing, or other ways to bring in traffic for that blog?
Absolutely. I think, again, in some past roles, I have worked in social media as well. So quite often, I think, I'm not doing that in my current role, but I think quite often when you are on a content or an SEO team, you probably have your hand in a few different pots. So I would say it's very crucial. And something that I always come back to is you want to make the most of all of your content. Maybe you don't necessarily want to pump out every single thing you do on every single platform. Maybe the demographic on that particular platform isn't really resonating with a particular type of content. That being said, if you have something that's really valuable that you've created, you've researched, you know, is a really solid piece of information, is really helpful for the user, you really can't go wrong with sharing it on social media. Again, I think it's also really important to have the right UTM parameters, make sure you're tracking all of that so you do know what's resonating with your audience, what kind of verbiage they're responding to, so you can kind of refine your strategy over time. I know for us, email marketing has been so great for getting our blog content and other website content in front of more eyes. So again, maybe for different industries, they will find their audience is a little less receptive to email marketing. And again, it sounds so basic, but I always come back to if the content you're putting out is really helpful, your titles are really engaging, because that's another thing sometimes. If your content is excellent, but you're not grabbing them with a great subject line and a great title, the clicks just won't be there. So making sure that you have a really engaging, snappy title, depending on what your audience is looking for, perhaps you're in a B2B industry that's a little bit more buttoned up, shall I say, maybe you're not going to go with like a punny title. For the purpose of our audience, which is typically like a social media manager, we kind of toe the line between the two. Sometimes we can afford to have a little bit more fun while trying to keep in mind, like, what would we respond to in our inboxes? What's worked in the past? And, you know, what we think would inspire, based on the demographic information that we do have, like what would inspire somebody to want to open this email and click? So really trying to communicate the value in as little words as possible, I would also say is quite important for the purpose of email marketing. If something's too long, a lot of people are just skimming that information. So, but if they can see, hey, this is really valuable to me, this is really going to help my workflow, this is really going to help my team achieve results, they're much more likely to click that type of content. So for us, email marketing has been really valuable. Social media, again, very valuable. Repurposing content as much as you can too. I think it's really great to get creative, having like a link in bio solution where somebody can actually find that content, because sites like Instagram, if you're doing like a post, maybe aren't, I guess, the best for directing your traffic like to a particular link. But if you have a really great stat or an interesting fact or something that you can call out, it's just one more little stepping stone to encouraging people to actually click that link in your bio and check out your website.
Now, we've been talking about basically going out and putting this out in social. I'm thinking organic social, but do you also mean like boosted or paid social at all? Are there reasons to do a boost or a paid social post to try to drive traffic? And will that help your SEO?
In terms of helping SEO, I mean, I always kind of think of everything online as really having like a symbiotic relationship. So I do think having a really robust social presence can boost your organic profile, because, you know, it shows Google you're credible, you have social profiles, you have a website, you have great content, you're updating that great content. In terms of paid posts in particular, I mean, I wouldn't say that they're going to hurt your SEO at all. That being said, like the direct link between a paid post and success for organic traffic, I think it does help in those ways that I previously described, just boosting your authority, boosting your credibility, showing you're an authoritative brand in that space that has the power, has like the knowledge, I guess, to boost posts is ultimately helpful in the long run. And again, can help get your content in front of eyes. Things like adding link in like an Instagram story can be really beneficial. Even, I mean, thinking of like an entire website as a whole, even something like a podcast ad can be really beneficial, linking that in the episode description or things like that. So I know our social team has done things like that for the past for particular website pages, and then also specific posts as well. I feel like that was a little bit roundabout way to answer that question, but.
I don't know there's a full answer to that. I know in the past, since Google has taken into account how long people come to a page, how many people come to it as ranking factors, there were certain companies that had large social presences that were actually able to boost the ranking of a post simply by kind of nailing it with a social post that went viral. A whole lot of people went to that page. The ranking shot up really quick because suddenly I have all these people coming to the page, engaging with it, and Google notices that. So they say, all right, obviously this is something of value to people, and it actually boosted their SEO. Now, I don't know if that's current, but I know in the past people have used that as a strategy. Not everyone has access to it, but something interesting to think of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's switch over to some tactical things here. Maybe share some practical tips on things like keyword search, one-page optimization, meta tag optimization. What are some things people could go and do right now? Or if they're not a blog manager, maybe they could talk to their blog manager and give them this as a tip.
I mean, in terms of strategies for keyword research, I think, again, aside from understanding your demographic, understanding your business goals, having those content pillars, another great thing to do is just a good old competitive analysis. So the template that you use might be different. I know for our team, we have one that's a little bit more developed, and we also have one that we call a quick win analysis. So really kind of quickly looking at a particular keyword, depending on what you use for keyword, you might use Ahrefs, you might use SEMrush. I know I typically use SEMrush, and also Google Trends I find very helpful. Sometimes that is a bit better, maybe if you're working on something that's a little bit more timely and newsworthy. That being said, it's right there. It's free to use. It's a great insight into what people are actively choosing, especially if you have a localized strategy. Google Trends is really powerful because you can kind of really nail down what people are looking in a particular region, in a country. So that's something that I think using both is really great. So I would say start with a competitive analysis. Sometimes even if you're starting a new piece of content, building out a content brief, a competitive analysis can be really great just to make sure that you're checking all of the boxes. You're not missing something that a competitor aiming for the same keywords done, but also that you're not missing any opportunities to innovate. So really using that critical eye to see and putting yourself in the user's position. So reading that competitor content and thinking, for example, for social media, if I was a social media manager, A, does this give me the tools that I need to succeed? B, is it easy to find? And just kind of using that critical eye when you're using your own content. And again, not just copying what they have or making sure you have everything they have, but also looking for opportunities to enhance, to add context, to add data, anything like that. And within that analysis, going back to kind of the meta information and things like that, it's very basic, but looking at their meta title, looking at the description, looking at their URL if you're in like a new content creation phase. And then I think another thing that can be really powerful for keyword research, but also just in terms of building out and strategizing when you are doing that new content creation, is looking at some other like technical things you can do to enhance your content. So are there opportunities to have the right schema on your website, depending on your industry? I know it's something that Google is deprioritizing for a lot of sites, but if you are working in a health industry or something like a government affiliate website or something, do you have FAQs? Are you using FAQ schema? Are you a cooking website? Are you using recipe schema? Are you using news schema if you're a news site? So all of those little things that will really can kind of give you that edge in the Google SERP.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe a quick definition of what schema is for the non-SEO people so I understand.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. So schema markup, I guess, just simply, and I'm sure there's somebody that can explain this technically a lot better than I can, but it's something that schema markup that sends a signal to Google about what your content contains. So just like a small snippet of code. So for example, going back to FAQs, this is something that will help Google on the SERP show that you have FAQs. So this might appear as like questions underneath your SERP. If you are a cooking website, recipe schema is another one that's really common. So again, when somebody's looking up how to make eggs, it will appear on the Google SERP in like a recipe format, if that makes sense. So again, if you're not using that, you're kind of missing an edge for your competitors that probably are using that. And there's schema for a wide range of topics. So I know something that my team's done in the past has kind of gone through, I'm blanking on the name of the actual website, but kind of going through and seeing like what schema is applicable to us, what other brands are using this, because sometimes there's something that you might think, hey, my team can use that. And then you go, not super relevant maybe to our content or what our actual aim is. So just making sure that you are using everything that you have at your disposal there.
Yeah. No, that's really important. I mean, for your content team, if they have access to a field in your CMS where they can input schema and they know they're regularly using a particular schema, it could be something very easy for them to put in place. I know one of the things that I've heard recently from several SEO experts is that this certain schema can be really powerful, like the FAQ schema that you mentioned. There was a SEO expert who was talking about that simply including that schema in all of their blog posts really helped them bump up in rankings and sometimes be in that featured question answer that Google has at the top of the SERPs. So yeah, it's just looking into which of those apply to your particular situation. And having a way for your content team to be able to input those. So, all right, good tips there. Here's the big question I think for anybody who's managing a blog that they would probably have for you is what are the KPIs, what are the metrics that they should be watching to tell whether their blog posts are being effective?
I think KPIs, I mean, they are largely informed by your business goals. So for example, kind of going back to what we initially discussed, maybe you do have some more top of funnel goals. Maybe you will want to look at things like leads, demo requests, downloads, even clicks to a certain page. I would say though, at the most basic level for my team, sessions on Google Analytics, it's a classic, but I guess you could say it's a classic for a reason. Comparing your sessions quarter over quarter, month over month, whatever your kind of reporting periods are, again, very basic, but a great indication of which pages are popular, who's visiting them. Obviously, you can kind of drill down to different demographics. Are you reaching a lot of people? Are you reaching people in the region that you're focused in? All of those things are really helpful. So I would say KPIs around sessions, very valuable. Again, another very basic, but it's basic, classic for a reason, I guess you could say, would be keyword rankings. So often when you are developing a piece of content, you might have a primary keyword, a secondary keyword. Perhaps you have some semantic keywords that you just kind of have that you'd like to include to enhance your content. But organic keywords are always a possibility when you're writing blog content. And I think for our team, we're typically trying to maximize as many secondary keywords as we possibly can. That being said, there's always those kind of nice bonus organic keywords that are showing up as well. So, you know, keyword rankings, but also keyword ranking position. So I know for our team, depending on how competitive a particular keyword, again, we're in social media, so there is quite a bit of content and there are quite a bit of very competitive terms. For something that's a bit less competitive, and I guess to kind of define that, for us, we use Semrush, makes it really easy. They give you a percentage and whether it's easy, difficult, medium. So for us, I would say too, it depends on the difficulty of the keyword. If it's extremely competitive and difficult to rank for, getting a top three position is always great. But depending on your domain authority, the content you have on your website, how long you've had a website, site speed, so many other factors, getting a top three position in the first week, in the first month that a piece of content goes live might just not be achievable. So sometimes for us, depending on the difficulty, we'll aim for 11 to 20 typically. Obviously, most people on Google are only really going to look at the first page, maybe the first three pages. That being said, position 11th to 20th is still much easier to then go back and re-optimize and see what you have to do to get to that top three position. What technical elements, what elements in the content do you need to improve? What information do you have to kind of enhance to have a chance to be more competitive there? So I would say keyword position in addition to keyword rankings is quite helpful.
So I've heard this from our blog manager is, does time on site, time on the page matter with blog posts as a metric of engagement, or the engagement in Google Analytics 4 score that Google uses? Are either of those good metrics to how effective page is?
I would say so. I know for our team personally, it's something that we're interested as a team and we will kind of bring up and discuss in our meetings. But in terms of our reporting, it's not something we regularly report on. Although again, I do think it's important and I do think it's a really valuable metric. One thing I think to keep in mind when you're focusing on time spent on page is that a lot of people really just want to skim content. So of course, you're always going to put your best foot forward, make sure the grammar is correct, do a great job in writing. You know, I'm somebody, I really like writing. So of course, that doesn't mean to not take pride in the writing, but I think skimmability is also a big factor. So just because somebody's not on that page for the length that it would take necessarily to read the entire thing doesn't mean that they didn't get what they need. Doesn't mean that they maybe didn't pull out like a salient data point, that they didn't navigate to a particular part. Something that, I mean, I personally just do a lot when I'm looking for information is good old Command F, plugging in that keyword just to kind of get to your point a little bit quicker. So I do think site speed's important. You know, if people aren't spending any time on your page, in addition to other metrics like sessions, keyword rankings, I mean, if those are both really high and people aren't spending any time on your page, I think it's really important to go back to the drawing board and see, what's the intent of this keyword? Does our data, does our content really kind of match up? Because obviously that's a clear indication that people aren't getting what they need when they visit that page. That being said, I think it's great in addition to these other KPIs that we discussed about as well, because again, something for the purpose of blog content especially is that skimmability factor. I know Google's always looking for things like shorter paragraphs, bullet points, headings, images, anything that can kind of break up huge walls of text and stuff. And you never know how long it necessarily took that person to find exactly what they need.
Yeah, no, good points. Good points. So now maybe just a couple of questions about your career and things you've learned. If you could go back in time to the very beginning of your career and talk to yourself, give yourself a piece of advice, what would you give first as your piece of advice to your younger self?
Oh man, I mean, knowing where I ended up now, I would say, I mean, this might sound very basic and it is very specific to SEO, but just paying attention to what Google's doing, reading Google Developer updates, doing more free courses. That's something that I'm a big proponent of. Does Google have courses? Is there any kind of thing outside of your normal day-to-day or your internal training or even your education that could really kind of inform what you do? So I think, as you probably discovered from talking to a lot of SEO experts, it's something that you really do kind of learn as you go. And there's a lot online that you can really use to kind of enhance your knowledge of. So I would say for me, that's a really big thing. That's something that, I mean, I do a lot now in my day to day, but I could definitely reflect on younger me thinking, well, I'm not a developer. I don't need to know this. I'm a content person. I'll focus on writing, which is not an approach that I would necessarily agree with today.
Very good. Well, all right, outside of Google's guidelines, where do you go for your inspiration and to continue learning?
Oh man, a lot of different places, honestly. And again, even kind of going back to keyword research, I think Reddit can be a really great place. Of course, like any other spot on the internet, it's always good to do your own research to kind of back up what people are thinking. But I know for a gut check, it's always really great to see my team is focused on this KPI. Is it relevant? Is there maybe something else that we should be focused on? Maybe it's just guidance on an intent of a certain keyword, on I'm doing XYZ, but I'm not achieving the results that I should have. What does everybody else think? And just kind of using it to stay on top of trends as well. I know there's been times where I'm following like a forum or a newsletter and I'm seeing an update that everybody gets caught up in your day to day. You're maybe not going to the Google blog every single day to kind of see different updates and things like that. So making sure you're signed up to credible newsletters and that you're also kind of involved in what the online community is doing for SEO, I would say, is really helpful and valuable.
Excellent. Well, tell us a little bit about Dash Hudson, where you work, just what the company does, kind of who they do it for, and give us some ideas on that.
All right. So Dash Hudson is a social media management software. So we provide brands with tools they need to schedule their content, measure its impact, and some other tools just to kind of enhance your social media workflow. So a tool that I really love that I get really excited about is our vision tool. So I know AI is very popular topic of conversation right now in the world of tech, in the online world, and like everywhere, to be quite honest. But it's something that Dash Hudson has been doing with this tool Vision for a number of years. So we're really excited that that's something that we kind of have a bit of a legacy with. And I would say that we're kind of on the forefront of. So that's a really exciting tool, which can help predict the impact of your content. So it gives it a sentiment analysis. Does it have a chance of resonating positively with your audience, neutral, or maybe even negatively? So that can be a great way for social teams to upload their content library. I know from working in social myself, quite often you have like a number of different assets. So it can be a great way to determine what is going to resonate with your audience and what isn't.
Does it actually use your library of past social to make those predictions?
Yes.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, how would people find Dash Hudson if they wanted to take a look at that?
So you could go on dashhudson.com. If you're curious, you could also go on dashhudson.com/blog for a lot of our great blog content. But even just going to dashhudson.com itself is great. You can find us on social, on Instagram and TikTok with Dash Hudson as well.
And if people want to connect with you individually, Jamie, maybe share ideas or hear things that you have to say, how would they find you?
I would say the best place to do that would be my LinkedIn. I think that will be linked in the description, if I'm not mistaken.
Sure.
Yeah, because
yes.
I think it's, I would say linkedin.com/Jamie Landry, but I know sometimes there's some different numbers and stuff tacked on the end there. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, Jamie, I really appreciate all of your insights, the things you brought today. I think a lot of people need to kind of hear these things from someone who's in the trenches, working on a blog day to day, and be able to then bring those back to their team and make those things happen. But thank you so much for that.
Thank you so much for having me. I always love a chance to talk about blogs and SEO. Always nice to get to yap about that for a bit.
Absolutely.
Cutting Edge Web Content Development is brought to you by Butter CMS. To find out how you can build better with Butter, stop wasting dev time, and free your marketers from your legacy CMS, visit buttercms.com. Also, make sure to search for Cutting Edge Web Content Development in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. make sure to click subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Butter CMS, thank you for listening.